Well, this afternoon, everyone, what I want to do is to discuss something that impacts on all of us in a way that you might not be fully aware of at times. And that's part of what the Word of God is all about. It's designed to bring us to an awareness of what our situation is as men and women, so that we might better be able to fulfill God's will in our lives. And of course, the will of God is outlined in the Scriptures. So let's turn to the sacred Scriptures of God, to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, it talks about how God has given some to be apostles and some to be prophets and others to be evangelists, and it explains all this. And then In verse 12, it says the purpose of all of this, why God has orchestrated a ministry to serve in the body of Christ, the church of God. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. There's something missing in all of our lives, and we need to be perfected in it. And so God has ordained that there is a spiritual ministry that is there to serve the men and women of the body of Christ, the church of God, and to help them so that they can be perfected to fulfill the will of God. And it is very important that we understand something here that this book definitely emphasizes. I would insert at this point Hebrews 11 and verse 6, which talks about without faith, it's impossible to please God. Which for us, it means you will not be able to really understand this book and make sense of it unless your faith is in the God who inspired and preserved it down for us to learn. It is the written word of God, which is a manifestation of the literal word of God, who walked this earth, who was sent to us to be God's representative. We know him as Jesus Christ. Back in the days when those individuals who walked and talked to him, he was, for all practical purposes, referred to as master, which means rabbi or teacher. So we could call him a Rabbi Yeshua or Yeshua. Many people call it different names in terms they don't know exactly how to say it. It could be Yeshua, it could be, what we're talking about is YHVH, that's the Tetragrammaton. And it, when you put the vowels in there, it can come out either Yeshua or Yahshua or Joshua. So he is a rabbi representing God and giving the teaching of God to the people. Please remember, he was quite different from everyone else that was teaching. You had the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes. There were a lot of different Jewish groups. How did they know if you were a follower of Yeshua or Yahshua or Jesus the Christ? You would understand because they would say, as soon as you opened your mouth and identified with what he taught, because that's what a rabbi does, he teaches. And you will remember that from the standpoint that in the book of Acts, it talks about how Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, how that he was a protege of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was one of the great teachers who mentored the Apostle Paul, as he later became known. And what was his teaching? The Torah, or the Tanakh, everything from the first five books of the Bible. That was the teaching from God to his people Israel. This is what was referred to help people understand who God was, how it all started, what our purpose is in life, and it was all outlined in those five books, setting the stage for other books that would later on define and even give a further clarification of the law of God, how it worked in the lives of men and women. But if you were a follower of this rabbi, this new one that they were concerned about because people were listening to him, they said he teaches differently than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In fact, he speaks like one who has authority. And the reason he had authority, because he's the one who wrote the book. He wrote the Tanakh, or the five books of the Old Testament, and the law of God. He knew exactly how it was to be administered. And so since they were teaching it in terms of the commandments of men, And Jesus would even address that to him. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He understood exactly how things were to be said. And in this particular case, people would look and say, you are a follower of the Nazarene, because he was Jesus of Nazareth. And the book of Acts talks about that, that followers of the Nazarite, the Nazarene. And he was the one who was the great teacher. Remember, you go back even into the time when he was 12 years of age. He sat in the temple talking to all these administrators of the law, and he was asking powerful questions of them. And they were amazed. How's this 12-year-old young person know all this stuff? And later on, when he was in his full ministerial capacity preaching, later on they said, how does he know these things, not having any letters or confirmation from us in our teachings, the school of Hillel or some of these other different teachings that were the rabbis of the time? He wasn't walking their walk. He was teaching the way of God. And so the whole purpose of Scripture then is to bring us to what? It says that we come to the unity which is in faith of the knowledge and of the Son of God, a perfect man, a perfect woman. So we are a work in progress because we're not there yet. Obviously, we know we're not perfect. We know we've got a lot to learn. And then it goes on to say that we are ultimately to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Wow. That's why the Bible uses the term overcoming. We've got a lot to overcome, things that get in the way of our everyday life that cause us problems and difficulties that we experience, and not just us, all mankind. And the reason why is because something happened way back when, and I'd like to take you back there a little bit, because always nice to go back to the beginning to find out how things started. I've entitled this message today for our learning, and again, Romans 15 and verse 4, everything is written for our learning. And if we're not learning those lessons, then we, like history, are destined to repeat certain things in our lives. And if you have had certain problems or difficulties that have come back to haunt you when you thought you had them under control, it's because, again, you haven't addressed it properly. And you have to go to God for guidance to find out what His Word says about these things, and then follow His instruction in order to get rid of it. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 2, I believe, the goodness of God leads us to repentance to show us where we're wrong. God doesn't want us to be in a state of variance with Him. He wants to be with us. He is wanting to have a relationship in which we communicate with one another. Just like in our families, we were meant to communicate with one another. And when communication is not properly addressed, then you have problems. And I submit to you, that's one of the big problems in many families, coupled with nations as well. They don't know how to communicate with one another. Well, for us, what we need to look at is, and I've titled this message today, Warning. Warning. And asking this question, is your heart wandering from God? Is your heart wandering from God? And I think you're going to find out, yes, your heart is wandering from God more than you tend to acknowledge, and that any of us tend to acknowledge. It requires a real lesson in looking at yourself and taking a spiritual audit of yourself. Now, God requires that in the spring of the year. It's called the days of unleavened bread, when He says that we are to examine ourselves. That's another way of saying, take a spiritual audit of yourself. Where are you? Where do you stand in this relationship that God has called you to? This is very important. We can't afford to wander. I looked at this, the definition of in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, And here was the definition, giving you a broad overview of what wander or wandering reveals. Wandering, to move about without a fixed course of without, in other words, you don't know where you're actually going fully, or you don't have a clear goal. To go idly about, in other words, you're just kind of idly living life. You're not really aware of the seriousness of life and how to make every day count. To deviate as of a course, or to move about without a fixed course or goal. To go astray morally. And boy, we see a lot of that today in this world, people going astray morally. Or to stray in thought, how you think. Now, with that in mind, take a look at that next scripture. What God says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. All of this was set in motion by God so that, verse 14, that we henceforth, notice, be no more children. Did you realize that even though here we are as adults, we're still children when our relationship comes to God? And what do you have to do with children? Well, I think most of us recognize that when you're dealing with children, you have to keep an eye on them. Why? Children tend to wander. Children tend to get into trouble because they wander into areas they should not go. You and I have had the problems of life because we have all wandered into areas we should not have gone. It's very plain, very simple. So simple a child can understand. We go back to the Garden of Eden. And here is God. And what is God doing? He's communicating with Adam and Eve. He's talking to them and giving them instruction. And in the cool of the evening, one evening, he comes and he calls out to them because he always walks and talks with them. That was his desire. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are hiding. And of course, you know the rest of the story. He says, "Have you taken of that tree?" Now, how did that happen? Let's back it up a little bit further. Adam and Eve are enjoying this relationship with God. They're having a good time living in the Garden of Eden, everything being provided for them. Behold, sin had not entered into the question, and therefore, everything is very good. But then one day, Mother Eve decided to wander. And she wandered off from her husband, Adam. He had to go find her. He caught up with her. He made a terrible mistake on his part. Mother Eve just was out walking in the garden, and she ran into something that caused her great grief. She got bit by a snake, and so have all of us. What happened there, and what Adam did likewise, allowed when he took the keys of his authority and handed them over to the adversary, all mankind entered into a world of trouble and problems. And we have paid a price down through history for our wandering. And this is very important for us because the Bible makes it very clear it is not God's will for us to wander away from Him as our heavenly parent. But we do. Now, all of us are here today, not because we want to wander from God, but when I ask you a question like this, is your heart wandering from God? The truth of the matter is, at times, your heart does wander. And it goes back to something God teaches us concerning the history of His dealings with a people called Israel that is recorded for our learning, as we mentioned in Romans 15:4. These people were called out of slavery, and they were given a marvelous opportunity to freedom. They were brought out with a mighty hand. We rehearsed this at the Spring Holy Days. It's a story of a birth of a nation, and the story of a nation that went awry because they did not follow instructions but wandered from the one who set them free. It's a really an amazing story. And it's there to help us understand not only why Israel got in trouble, but why all mankind is in trouble today because of our wanderings. And the further you wander from God, the more God becomes unreal to you. And so there are people today that say God does not exist. There are people who say, I don't believe in God, but God doesn't wait. You know, he doesn't say, you don't believe in me, therefore I'm going to cease to exist. No, he's not going to cease to exist. When you study the scriptures, you realize we are dealing with what the Bible calls the sovereign Lord Almighty. He is a sovereign God. That means above all that is called God. He is the supreme one who rules over everything. And of course, he is revealed to us through his Son when he came to this earth as the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know and understand. From slavery to freedom, and yet what happened? The nation chose to wander. They wandered at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses didn't come back as quick as they would have liked. And what happened? They wandered wanting to go back to Egypt. They set up a golden calf. They did the very things that God had set them free from, all the paganism and everything. And what did they do? They reverted back to their old habits. That's another way of saying, dear brethren, we revert sometimes to old habits that cause us to wander from God. And these habits are not good. That's why God has told us to flush them out, bury them beneath the blood of Christ, and walk in newness of life through Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we have to get rid of the very thing that the Israelites struggled with. They came out of Egypt with attitudes. They came out with murmurings of all kinds. And they had wrong behavior. Now, you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. And it culminates by saying, all this is written upon us, upon whom the ends of the age are come. We are to learn from that so that we don't fall prey to the same wanderings that they did. Now, we're going to look at that more carefully, because what the Bible is telling us is that our own hearts and affections are fickle. As human beings, we are very fickle in our attitudes and our desires. Even among Christians today, we have a problem. We see that many who claim to be Christian are wandering in all directions. Remember in Ephesians 4 what we read? It says that you be no more children. Remember what God called the Israelites? The children of Israel. He didn't call them adults because they were still acting like children. They had not yet come to the place where they were in harmony with God's will and instruction. And you and I are told that we henceforth should be no more children. That's our goal. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and become strong in the power of his might. And it goes on to say, you're not to be tossed to and fro. Now, we live in a day and age where people are being tossed to and fro by every kind of idea and theory under the sun. And it says, hear every wind of doctrine. Now, where do we see some of that? Well, we see some of that very clearly demonstrated, showing that we are in grave danger, because today people wander not only just in localized areas. Today they have the ability to wander all over the world on the internet. The internet makes available all things to people. And parents have to filter and watch the internet very carefully. Why? Because if you're not careful, you can suddenly find yourself on the dark web. I didn't even know there was a dark web until they mentioned there's a dark web out there. Well, that's not a place you want to go, because something dark is out there. And usually it's bad. It's where the bad elements go to do their conniving. And what does the scripture say? It should be no tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men, who are doing what? Cunning craftiness, and they're doing it to deceive. You can fall under deception. No wonder Satan is called the god of this world, and why in Revelation 12:9 it says Satan has been able to deceive the whole world. People don't realize their wanderings are all over the place, causing them great grief, and this is why Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to know where you're wandering, because if you're close to God, you won't be wandering. You'll know that there are certain areas that are off limits, and you stay away from that. You stay away from all appearance of evil. But we live in a world that's surrounded by it, and from time to time, it rubs off on all of us as human beings, not because we deliberately want it, but it just falls prey. If you're watching television, boom, things can pop into your mind that you shouldn't be watching. You can click on the internet and things you can find on the internet you shouldn't be watching. Shouldn't be going there. No, today, if you don't watch your children, they could end up with all kinds of things. The internet wandering has caused us serious problems and has created serious addictions for people. Now, remember, it's not a thing that's wrong. It's how a thing is used. When something is not used in the right direction, then it has the opposite effect. So addictions of all types are now impacting on people because people wander to drugs, they wander to alcohol, they wander to smoking. These are problems people struggle with. And then, of course, you watch your TV commercials and they say, if you've got CCOP or whatever else you got, these problems, you take this drug and that drug. But please take note, talk to your doctor because you're going to have 25 side effects from this. Sounds like there's problems going on in people's lives, and even what the remedy can produce problems. So here again, addictions of all types happen due to wandering and not following the instruction of our Creator. See, you and I are now recognizing that, and we recognize we have wandered from God. And God has brought us to repentance, and we're sorry for our wandering. And yet that doesn't mean we are 100% clean, because, you see, that old nature came up with us. And if you don't throttle yourself, if you don't let God, through the power of His mighty Holy Spirit, The Ruach HaKodesh, the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not using that power, then you're just trying to solve your problems your way. And dear brethren, we can't solve our problems without the help of God and His Holy Spirit. That's why God leads us to repentance. All right. Taking this into consideration and realizing this warning, that our hearts can stray from God. We can wander from time to time. And if you're honest with yourself, we'll talk about a few other things that is a dead giveaway and shows us that we all fall into this trap. Paul put it this way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in the book of Romans. Sounds like everybody's been wandering all over the place instead of following the instruction. Well, what happens is the fact that, again, we have placed our affections not on God, but on things. Things that have taken us away from God. That's why God says an individual's life is not evaluated by the things that you have. It's the character that you've developed. That's the key. And what God is looking for is the kind of character that honors Him among His sons and daughters, made in His image, male and female. And that's our battle, the battle of overcoming, getting rid of those old habits, getting rid of those things where we have wandered in wrong directions, and be alert with the Spirit of God that when we see ourselves starting to wander, pull with the Spirit of God ourselves back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You know, God could have made it real easy for us. He's a God of pleasure. He wants us to be filled with pleasure. And everything He's designed so that it's enjoyable. He's that kind of God, and he has pleasures at his right hand forevermore, it says in the kingdom of God. Now, God could have made it real easy for us. He says, if you stay in this certain particular area, everything is going to be wonderful. Step outside of that, and oh, man, it's going to be like the world has collapsed on you. And then you get back over here, oh, it's good. Step over here, wander over here, and oh, man, it's terrible. Now, every time that would happen, you'd learn in a hurry. But God wants you to learn how to handle pleasure. So the devil comes along and he gives you pleasure too, pleasure for a season. Step outside, you have to make a choice. Do I stay out here and play around with this pleasure, or do I stay here with God and enjoy his pleasure? That's the choice we have to make. The world says, I want pleasure apart from God. All mankind gets is nothing but heartaches and problems. Those that come to God, what do they receive? They begin to receive the pleasure called peace of mind, that peace of mind that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus, because we're listening now to how God says to live. And we're starting to make the right choices that we didn't make years ago when we wandered off and had to learn the hard way what we did was not right. And everybody has done that. Everybody. That's why, again, anybody who tells you that they somehow have escaped all that is lying to you. Because everybody has suffered from the error of our ways. We wandered, and God does not want us to wander. Colossians chapter 3 is a wonderful, wonderful assessment telling you how to set your affections on things above, to focus your mind where it really needs to be, and how to battle against your own physical weaknesses that cause you to wander from God. So Colossians 3 is an excellent battle plan. That's one you need to mark in your Bibles and keep a note to that. That if you feel yourself losing your perspective at times or wandering, get back and read Colossians 3. Also Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13, which reminds us again that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but know this, that it is God who works in and through you to accomplish his will. Because you're looking to God for his Spirit to work within you to accomplish that wonderful gift of conversion. Because God has to convert us. We can't convert ourselves. God has to lead us to the right source, the right well to drink from, and then take a look at how he instructs us. He writes the account in the scriptures, and he teaches us many ways. He teaches us, thus saith the Lord. You can learn by the example of the individuals that are written, and you learn by spiritual principles. In other words, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And that is part of how we learn. You can't find a scripture that says, thou shalt not smoke. But you don't want to smoke. Why? Because, as they're finding out now, you hurt your own physical temple by doing that. This temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you don't want to muddy the waters or dirty this temple or defile it in any way. You want to keep it clean as possible. And we can't do that perfectly, but we now must strive for that spirit of cleanliness, because God is the author of purity. He's the author of all that is good and holy and right. And he says, we are to become holy like he is holy. Wow, how do we do that? Only with the help of God. By following his instruction, he will bring it to pass. There is nothing impossible for God. All things are possible. And when we understand that, and when we apply Hebrews 11 and verse 6, faith and trust in what God is going to do, then God mobilizes all his capabilities to help us in the battle of overcoming. But if people embrace doubt and fear and anxiety and won't put faith and trust in God, then they never discover what's available to them, the many wonderful promises God has ordained. But take a look at some of the things that the scriptures refer to. Let's go back to take a look at the time of the flood. Noah was an individual who was upright. He was one who was striving to do God's will, and his DNA may well have been the DNA that allowed him to go across into a different world when the old world was overthrown. Because again, he was perfect in all his generations. That sounds like a DNA transfer down through the process of time. But in that area, it is interesting, after the flood, and he's a man after God, you know, God and his family, he spared them because they were striving to do the right thing. Yet he plants a vineyard, and you get a story about him and this vineyard. And what do we find? He liked wine. People like to drink. There's nothing wrong with drinking, as long as it's done in moderation. And the fruit of the vine was something that caused him to become inebriated. And you get the story back there in the book of Genesis. It is one that brought about a scandal, so to speak, in Genesis 9, verses 20 through 24. And he loved the grape. Now, there are people today who love alcoholic beverages. And when they go into it too much and wander into it excessively, they become alcoholics and have a real battle on their hands. Now, in this particular case, apparently he just overdid it and he got drunk. There are a lot of people get drunk in life. And you can get drunk on ideas, you can get drunk on things, you can get drunk on alcohol. But in this particular case, a terrible consequence. Because he wandered into that, lo and behold, you have to read the rest of the story. I'm not going to go there. But how many times today do people do what they call today DUI? And look at the terrible problems and difficulties we read about and hear in the news. Terrible crashes, people who lose it because they wandered away from fundamental common sense. Moderation, which the Bible teaches us in all things. Now, in this case, we move from Noah to Abraham, the father of the faithful. Did he ever wander? Just in case, you know, you think, well, hey, all these people are home free. They never wandered. No, they're just like us. They wandered as we wandered. And at a moment of weakness, guess what? Abraham was not thinking about God in this moment. He was more worried about a king who had his eye on his good-looking wife. And Sarah was a very attractive woman. And Abraham realized, uh-oh, these kings like to grab women that are attractive and stick them in their harem. And what they do is usually cut off the heads of the husbands, and then there's no problem. They solve their problem by taking the wife. In this particular case, Abraham did what? He told a half-truth concerning Sarah. Then later on, it happened again. So on two occasions, this type of thing happened. And you read that in Genesis 12, 10 through 20, and Genesis 20, 1 through 18. Now that was an issue that Abraham struggled with. You see, everybody has issues, things that they struggle because they have wandered. I'm sure he felt terrible about it, talked to God about it like any of us. When you do something you know you shouldn't, you have to go to God right away. His spirit will weigh heavy on you until you get that issue taken care of. Then we have the story of Gideon. As we move through the Bible, we come to the book of Judges and Gideon. He was one of the judges there that came to help Israel, because what was the problem with ancient Israel? They would obey God, then they would fall away from God. Then they would cry out. Then God send them help, then they'd fall away again. So you read that all through the book of Judges. In fact, if you want to know what's going on in our country today, read the book of Judges in your Bible study, and you will see what's happening to our country today. It's all right there. It's been there once before, and it's coming down in the end time, as the scripture talks about. But in the book of Judges, chapter, I believe it is 8:27, we find that he did something. He took gold and he made ephah, or ephah, whatever you call that thing. And it became, it says, a snare to Israel, because they began to look to it rather than looking to God, who had delivered them through the situation there with Gideon. Then I think most of you know about the story of Samson. Samson was another one of the judges who came along. And what did he do? He wandered from his people to a place where there was another beautiful woman. Now, he had beautiful women from his own nation, but he didn't look that way. He wanted to look at the other, because you see, even enemies have things going for them. And in this case, she was very attractive. And what you see is that he went down to Timrah to check and see, who was this individual called Delilah? See, you hear songs today by Tom Jones singing, "Oh, Delilah." Yeah, Delilah was a powerful influence. And you would wonder why he couldn't pick up on that, because when he stepped outside of the guidance of God, what he was doing, he was exposing himself. He was wandering into a dangerous situation. And it turned out to be against him, because later the story tells you he lost his eyes, his vision. He was looking in the wrong place. He should have looked at home instead of looking into the enemy camp. And what ended up happening? He lost his eyes. He was redeemed toward the end, where he was granted by God forgiveness, and he killed all the Philistines at that time in their temple. But from Samson, we go to another story that everybody knows about. God reveals it all. Why does he do this? To show us what happens when we wander. In this particular case, it was King David. David was a man after God's own heart. What did he do? He killed Goliath. He wiped out the enemies of Israel. He becomes king over all Israel. And then one day, while the troops are out fighting, where he should have been guiding and working with his troops, he was up on the housetop and his eyes began to wander. And what did he see? A very, very beautiful woman. But it was not a woman he should be involved with. So what he did, he took advantage of his responsibility as a king, called for her. You know the rest of the story. I'm not going there. But what brought terrible consequences to the house of Israel? Then you read about the dysfunctional breakup of David's family, everything that was going down. Sad. All those things didn't have to happen. But when you wander in certain areas that you shouldn't wander, these things blow up like bombs and cause terrible heartache to those who are affected. So we have David, and he had to come to God in sincere repentance, and it was forgiven. Yes, anything when we wander from God, if we repent and really mean it, God forgives us. He's that way. I don't know if you ever stopped to think about this, dear brethren. When God, before any of us were ever brought on the scene as far as human beings, do you know that God, when he laid out the battle plan for mankind and he looked at all that he was going to do and how mankind would come along, he knew we were going to transgress. He knew we were going to wander. And yet he did something that you and I are told to do that really is hard for a lot of people. God loved us, John 3:16. He loved us, and every one of us were potential and became enemies of God. He loved us as enemies. And then he brought us to repentance. You read about that in the book of Romans. It says the law of God is hostility to the human carnal nature. It doesn't want to obey God. So these are things that we have to take note of and learn from. Once God brings us to repentance, we have a real mission on our hands, and we've got to stay close to God so that we don't wander. And yet the reality is we all do from time to time. And once you spot yourself wandering in some area, you better get close to God fast. You better cry out to God. Just like David, he realized, oh man, I have gone too far. Where in the world have I been? The goodness of God calls you to repentance. God has too much invested in us with the blood of his own son and his own life given for all of us. And so what do we see? We see even with the disciples, when they were around Jesus, what happened with Peter? When Jesus finally told them, he says, well, fellas, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and they're not going to be nice to me. They're going to do some pretty terrible things to me. Peter pops off all of a sudden and says, Lord, no, 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 no. You're not going to Jerusalem. Far be it from you, Lord. You're not going to go there. We won't let that happen to you. And what was his response? He didn't look at Peter and talk to Peter. He said, in essence, and I could almost, from a human standpoint, I would get this feeling. Peter's behind, reaching out to touch the master and saying, Master, Lord, you're not going to go to Jerusalem. And I can see Jesus almost saying, Peter, Peter? No. He knew what was behind the scenes, behind Peter's comment. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man, not the things of God. This request coming out of Peter's mouth is not the will of God. And he spotted it right away. And he rebuked Satan, who spawned that very thought. Because you see, Satan broadcasts in attitudes, in feelings, in murmurings. He magnifies these things. This is why the scripture warns us, be careful of these things. This is what happened to the ancient Israelites. Look at the news today and you can see the hand of Satan out there working overtime. Brethren, it even happened to the Apostle Paul on one of his assignments. He had a worker who was with him. His name was Demas. And it says that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says that what Demas did, he apparently was with Paul for a period of time, but afterwards what happened? It says he left Paul and went back to the world. Now we have seen and witnessed, even in our lifetime, we have seen people who have given themselves many years in dedication to God. At least they said they were. They said that they believed these things. And yet now, and we all know somebody along these lines, they've gone back to the world, like Demas. So here we have something very important to keep in mind. That it's happened to people in the past, don't dare say to yourself, it can't happen to you. It's happened to others, and you can wander too. All of us can wander. All of us have wandered. And once we see that wandering raising its ugly head, that's that old nature in us. That means old habits, old things pulling us back. We need to do what? We need to react quickly. We need to be proactive and not let time get away from us. What happens when we wander? What happens to us? Well, certain things become evident. And there are two outstanding things that become evident when we start wandering. Number one, our communication with God is interfered with. We have problems praying. Where we used to run to God in prayer, and remember we have men of God who did what? David, Daniel, prayed three times, morning, noon, and night. Did we pray a lot more years ago and find ourselves praying less today? And why would that be the case? Are there other things encroaching on our time that keep us from praying and communicating to God? If this is a communication lifeline for all of us, if the devil wanted to really cause grief to people, what would you want to do? Disrupt communication. And that's exactly what he tries to do, to keep us from praying And you'll almost feel it from time to time when you're praying and all of a sudden you're having a hard time getting through. Somebody's jamming the airways, the frequency, to keep you from talking to God. And you can find that out real quick, because if you stop and get back to something physical to do, oh, everything is fine. You go right back to your physical routine. But you have to force yourself to make yourself communicate with God. It's so important. And another area is that book you have on your lap or your video counterpart of modern technology, your computer, the Bible. If you're finding it, you're having less time getting into the Bible than you once did. Or years ago, we spent at least a half hour, we were told, to study even an old correspondence course. And suddenly it was an hour and a half because we got so absorbed in things. But today there's so many other things that can grab your attention and cause you to wander away. Other magazines to read, other things to look at, plenty of TV. And now, more than ever before, let's stream all kinds of things. Let's binge through Netflix and all the others. And we can go hour after an hour, just eat and watch TV for hours, all the episodes you missed. Do we spend hours and hours reading all the exciting stories of God's Word that we have missed? You begin to see, we're under assault, dear brethren. The adversary is working hard. God wants us to avoid falling into that trap. So what has he done? Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, God says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. How do we deal with this wandering problem we have? Well, he says, this is the whole man, the whole woman, if we do what? Keep his commandments. We have to be focused, keep our minds on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. Because Rabbi Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, is the one who is our teacher. He's the one who gave us this information. And he says, this is what you need to do. And when you follow his instructions, he says, you will have that peace of mind that passes all understanding. You won't be walking in a fear of guilt and like, oh, I wonder if I did this right, or I wonder if I did that right. You will know what to do, and you will know it is right because that's what God said to do. Where we run into trouble is when we wander, and we know deep down inside because of the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Holy Spirit, impresses on our mind we are not on the right path. And we get a warning from God, get your house in order. Now, we know that's true, brethren. You know that as well as I do. All of us have strayed from time to time. You don't want to, but that old nature is powerful. And here's the Apostle Paul writing in the book of Romans, and what does he say? He says, oh my. He says, the things that I want to do, I can't do, and the things that I shouldn't be doing, ghastly here, that's what I'm doing. So he shows us that even he wandered at times and had to struggle within himself. So what God wants us to just be mindful of, that we have got to keep our focus on the things of God. That means look at the creation more instead of the things created by man. When you start seeing the things of what this sovereign Lord is all about, why it says we are to sing praises to him. Because when you see all of creation and you understand the scientific laws, Mario Sigley is writing an excellent series on creation and science right now. And that really, science was made to corroborate and validate the Word of God. And the reason why we know that is because everything is run by scientific rules that God has established. And these scientific rules make God the greatest scientist that has ever existed. And all his creation dictates that to us. But today we keep hearing science on one side and we have to separate religion from science. No, science confirms that the Word of God is true. They just can't believe what they're discovering. When they talk about light, and God is light according to the scriptures, and when they come back and they talk about the Big Bang, how did all that happen? They can only go so far, because if they go any farther, they run into the one who made it all. And they cannot bring themselves, except a certain class of scientists will acknowledge that. But most will not. Little thunder in the heavens, the power of God being displayed. Human beings can't understand how some of these things are. You and I are told that we are to stand in awe of the creation of God. And you folks are the greatest of God's creation. I remember Albert Einstein was once asked about the theory of relativity. And I heard this evaluation. Most people don't know what that is. They normally thought what he was saying is that everything is relative. And that's not what he was saying. He was talking about mathematical science, and he was talking about how certain things relate to each other in terms of math, a scientific truth. That's the true science, mathematics. They asked him this question. Well, what happens when you get out there, yay, way out there somewhere? What's going to happen? How do we understand all that? And his answer, I thought, was phenomenal. He says, out there somewhere is a higher form of mathematics that we have not yet understood or experienced. In other words, the ways of God are far greater than the ways of man. Man can look on this level and try to understand. God is so far above us, you will never understand God. He's too great. We're too small. We've got small brains. Our thinking is so small. God is so awesome. And he says, take a look at one of my flowers that I've created. You can't figure it out. Take a look at one of my trees. You can't figure it out. Take a look at yourself, layered together with marvelous systems in every aspect to make you a living, moving being. And you can't figure it out. That's the God we are called to serve and to become like him. And he says, this is going to take some time, folks. So he has given us this plan, this purpose. And he wants us to understand, your life gets complicated when you wander from me. So therefore, in a world where people are wandering in every direction, and you saw, don't be tossed to and fro like children, like the children of Israel were. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to become like him, to recognize the potential dangers we all have to struggle with, but to know God is in the battle with us. He will not allow anything to overthrow us if we stay the course with him. If you go out wandering, there's a snake out there. Mother Eve got bit. We've wandered, and all of us have gotten bit in the process of time too. So we have much to learn. One final major thought I'd like to share with you is that the book of Revelation deals with this very subject. In chapter 2 and 3, it talks about the churches in Asia Minor that formulated the attitudes, the feelings, the thoughts that went through the people from Ephesus all the way to Laodicea. Now, it's important to understand, what is there is a synopsis of things that we need to be mindful of that happened in the lives of these people down through time, but can happen at any given time, because it says, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says. That's that Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. Make sure that you listen to what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. These attitudes can happen. You can do what? He talked about it in the book of Ephesians right there in Revelation. He says, I have somewhat against you. What? You wandered away from me and you lost your first love. Get back and set the woods on fire in your communication with God. Some went through persecution. Smyrna had some trouble. So when we embrace the Word of God, what happens? We get persecution. People don't buy into what we're trying to do. They say, no, you don't need to keep the Sabbath. We say, yes, we do. And we commit ourselves accordingly. Thyatira was a warning to be careful. That woman Jezebel, why? False doctrine. You're going to be tossed to and fro, and you're going to get pulled into things you may be careful what you embrace. Then it goes on, it says, you better stir up the fires because some of you are just about to die. Spiritually, you're not using the Spirit of God. Some of you are on fire. You don't have a whole lot of strength, but you haven't denied God's name. You're staying tight to the course. And then to the Laodiceans, he says, please be careful, my people. You've got so many good things going for you, but if you don't get out of your comfort zone and walk humbly with me, you're going to start wandering into materialism and all the problems that are going to erupt in the end time age. So he's telling us through the book of Revelation, there's great dangers out there. You and I have experienced these dangers, folks. That's why we have the problems in this world. Started from the Garden of Eden and has gone, and it won't be finished until God finally does away with all of the adversary, HaSatan, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And we have a marvelous opportunity as long as we hold tight to the truth. And what is truth? John 17:17, God's word is truth. We cannot afford to wander from the truth of God. Today, people are pulling things out of the Bible and wandering all over the place, and they're not staying to the trunk of the tree of understanding. It's got to be as simple that a child can understand it. If it is so complicated that they can't grasp it, then something is wrong. It's just that God has a plan that is going to work. Parents have a responsibility with children. Don't let your children wander. We are the children of God. We're supposed to become adults. And what is God doing? He's telling us, my people, please, don't wander. Don't let yourself fall prey to what the Israelites did. Live by faith and confidence and trust in me, and I will deliver you. And that's what we look forward to, folks. That's the marvelous truth that is set before us. May God help us all to stay on that course and not wander, because it can happen so quickly. And don't think it can't. The enemy is alive and well on planet Earth, but God rules in the kingdoms of men. And we want to be under his divine hand, not under the influence of the enemy. We cast him out wherever he is, and we run to God for guidance, help, and deliverance. May God be with us all.